You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, Attorney General William Barr said the Mueller report confirms that President Trump committed no collusion with Russia, but did not reach a conclusion on whether Trump obstructed justice. We'll discuss the release of today's redacted report and what happens now. First, abusive relationships and dating violence aren't just a problem for adults. Teenagers are also at risk. A new study from the University of Washington finds that between 2003 and 2016, 7% of teenage homicide victims were killed by their former or current intimate partners. 90% of those victims were female. Experts say that educating kids early on about respectful relationships and seeing them modeled by adults are important steps to keep dating safe. And a Wisconsin organization has been getting teenagers themselves involved in reaching out to their peers to prevent abuse. Stephanie Ortiz is the Director of Prevention and Outreach with End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Cody Warner is the LGBTQ and Youth Program Director at End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. He's with us here in the studio. Cody, thanks for being here.
Yes, it's really awesome to be here.
Stephanie, let's start with you. What does the scope of dating violence for teens look like in Wisconsin?
Thanks for having me on, y'all. We know that 1 in 5 teens experience dating violence in Wisconsin. And then some national statistics I still think are prevalent here, in that 2 in 3 teens never tell anyone about it when they are in those unhealthy relationships. And then with the devices nowadays, 1 in 4 teens say they've been called names, harassed, or put down by their partner through mobile devices. So that sheds a little bit of light on the prevalence, and I'm sure Cody could say more.
And just to reiterate, you said that as many as 1 in 5, so 20% of teens, have experienced some type of violence in their dating relationships.
Correct. And that's Wisconsin specific.
And Cody, did you want to add something?
Yeah. End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin has a homicide report that they produce annually. And we've been going through that. And since 2000, there have been 30 teens in Wisconsin that have been lost to dating violence homicides.
And I have to say, I think that often when we hear the term domestic violence, or even if you hear dating violence, people tend to think of adults. Mm-hmm. But this is something that is clearly affecting a lot of young people, Cody.
Definitely. And that's one of the reasons that we are pushing so hard to bring light, to inspire, to illuminate, to educate folks on this statewide.
Stephanie, you mentioned that I believe you said 2/3 of teens who have been in a violent relationship or an abusive relationship haven't told anyone about it. Do we know what some of the reasons are that keep them from reaching out for help?
I mean, the infamous one is not being believed, right, by the loving folks in your life. And so one way that we try to get around that in the work that we're doing at the State Coalition with Teens is really encouraging young people to be that trusted person in their friends' lives. So we're really encouraging teens to develop the tools, equip them with the tools so that they're feeling ready to respond to their friends when they're in situations like this, or they're able to recognize it earlier on, because teens are more likely to tell their peers about this rather than the adults in their lives.
And we'll definitely talk about the program that End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin has to use these teen ambassadors. Cody, one of the things I was thinking about in preparing for this is that I can see a lot of reasons why a young person might have additional barriers to asking for help, one of which is a lot of times young people are not supposed to be dating. Like mm-hmm. their parents might have said, you're not going out with anyone until mm-hmm. you're 16. Well, maybe they're 15 and they are dating someone and it's not a healthy relationship. But, you know, especially to a young person's mind, kind of outing themselves as being in a mm-hmm. relationship might seem like it's not worth the risk.
You're right. And that number that I mentioned before, that those 30 teens lost, those are just the ones that were reported. A lot of times the families don't know that they're dating, don't know that they're in this relationship, which is why we really try and focus on that like peer-to-peer model, because we know that teens are going to their friends first, mm-hmm. if at all. And those barriers just beyond not even being able to date, but you know, access to services in general are often limited by what they can actually either afford, not be on their parents' insurance, if they're just trying to get initial help.
Mm-hmm. And Cody, what are some of the additional obstacles for teens who might be, say, in a same-sex relationship?
I mean, it's a lot more difficult because there's a lot less resources in Wisconsin, especially in the more rural areas. There might not even be a GSA at their school. And a lot of
Straight Alliance.
Correct. And a lot of those youth that I've worked with, that folks around the state have worked with, have said that we don't really know what a healthy relationship is. So how are we supposed to know what an unhealthy relationship looks like?
We're talking with Cody Warner and Stephanie Ortiz. They are both with End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. We're talking about the risks to teens and young people in dating violence and how lethal it can actually be in those intimate relationships. And I want to talk specifically about the program that you have that that really uses those peers, as you said, Cody, to provide information, support, resources to fellow teens. How are you recruiting teens to work in that?
Yeah. So in 2014, we started our statewide teen council. And so we have a northern and southern teen council, and it's expanded a lot since the beginning. And we're now close to over 100 people within it. And those are adults and teens doing prevention-like work around anti-oppression and dating violence and gender-based violence in their communities already. So that was our really awesome, really big pool of teens and adult mentors that we had in the state.
And Stephanie, what are you learning from these teens who are involved? I mean, it would be, I think, easy. And it's pretty common for adults to think like, oh, well, you know, I've got all this life experience. I'm going to say what teens need. What are you hearing from the teens themselves?
I mean, I'm hearing teens really talk about, you know, the facts that we're sharing today really don't shed light on the actual prevalence. The teens are telling us that they don't know any of their friends that haven't been impacted by dating violence, right? So, I mean, that I think is telling about the resources that are going to be necessary in order to really prevent this from ever happening or even being thought about as a way to resolve a situation, right? And so our young people are feeling like they need more tools. They want to have teen dating violence and healthy relationships talked about in different spaces outside of the ones that we're creating for them. So they're really wanting to see more of the education, show up in the schools, show up in different community centers that they're part of, really expanding the spaces that we create for them out in their community in other ways. So just feeling like more resources need to be directed towards preventing violence from ever happening.
And Stephanie, it does seem like having done some domestic violence training in the past, it can be very tempting to tell someone who we feel is being victimized in a relationship, you just need to do this, whether it's you need to break up with that person, you need to move out, you need to do this. But really, it needs to be that person's decision. How do you talk with teens who might want to just, you know, insert themselves and say to their friends, look, this is what you need to do, period, end of sentence?
Ooh, that I really try to encourage them to be conscious about telling someone to leave an abusive relationship, because we know that's the most dangerous time. You know, we talk about the statistics of homicides happening right after a breakup and it being a really high percentage. And so we're really careful about telling teens to leave abusive relationships. We're really careful about taking the time to give them safety planning processes that they can go through, because it's really a long process and a lot of things go into leaving an abusive relationship. It's not just a quick end and done and leave.
And Cody, it seems like there are a lot of things that can happen in relationships that can be seen as proof that your partner really cares about you, when in fact, if you look at it through kind of a lens of power and control, they're not healthy behaviors. Can you share some of those with us, and you know how that can be hard to show someone, you know, this doesn't mean that this person loves you actually.
So a lot of times it'll come up as like small comments about like what they're wearing, and then eventually it kind of like will increase in like controlling where they will get physically or verbally angry at them and start yelling or telling them what not to wear and what not to wear. There can still be financial abuse happening between them and controlling that person's money that they get either through allowance or their jobs, and controlling what they can and can't spend money on. And, you know, slowly isolating those teens away from their friends, family, and other support systems that they already have, because, you know, that whole infatuation beginning of the relationship, it's so new. You just want to be together and like get to know each other really well. And in reality, if healthy relationships, it's really nice to have that and still time for you and your support systems that are involved.
We're talking with Cody Warner and Stephanie Ortiz from End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin, and we're looking at the issue of dating violence among teenagers. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think teenagers need to know about having safe, healthy relationships? Did you have a relationship when you were young that you now see was problematic? What advice did you get or not get as a teenager when it came to dating? And did the relationships you saw around you as a young person affect your approach to dating? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation with Cody Warner and Stephanie Ortiz from End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. We're looking at the issue of dating violence among teenagers and how to prevent it. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you wish you knew about having healthy relationships when you were younger? How did the relationships you saw around you affect the way you interacted with your partners? And if you're a teenager now, do you think your friends know enough about how to be safe and respectful in their relationships? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Stephanie, about a year ago, End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin launched Dare to Know, which has a component of a teen ambassador program. Tell us how that works. What do those teen ambassadors do?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So our teen ambassador program is fairly new. We actually are holding monthly virtual meetups, which allow for our teens that are separated across the state to really come together and build connectedness and share ways that they can promote the campaign, which is all about healthy relationships and healing, on their social media platforms. So it's really social media focused, because we know that young people who have access to their media devices are turning them on immediately when they wake up. So we're using social media as the platform to get out the word about the Dare to Know campaign, and we're really encouraging teens to persuade their peers to tap in. So we're really trying to build up these young people to a point where they're feeling confident to relay the messages in their community, get their peers involved, and eventually even hold panels and like different sorts of, we're doing a school tour coming this year. So it's really all about equipping the young people with the tools necessary to promote the campaign in their local areas.
Let's go to the phones, and Jessica in Green Bay is up. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Hi. Jessica, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, yep, I'm here.
Go ahead. So I just wanted to call in because I have an experience I'd like to share. My mother was taken at the hands of domestic violence in 2013, and I really just wanted to reinforce what Stephanie was saying about, you know, not always just jumping right into, oh, you need to leave that person, you know, you need to break up with them, and just really making sure that that person has a game plan, so to speak, about how to safely exit that relationship. So again, just making sure that you have a support group around you, you have people who, you know, even could physically be there to protect you, back you up when you do decide to leave that person. Because, you know, things with my mom may have gone differently if she would have had an exit plan planned out.
Jessica, I'm so very sorry for that tragic loss. And yes, Stephanie, you had made a point of saying that the most dangerous time in a violent relationship is often when someone's trying to leave.
Yes, absolutely. And that, to just reiterate your point, that's the importance of having a support network and a game plan, just like you mentioned. There's so many factors that go into why folks stay in a relationship, and oftentimes it's centering their safety. And so having a plan in place is still very important.
And Cody, obviously, it can be challenging for anyone to be able to put together a safety plan, but especially for someone who is a minor who may or may not feel like they can talk to their parents. Is part of the teen peer program encouraging them to find at least a safe adult, even if it's not a parent?
Yes, the whole process is about valuing your voice, persuading your peers, and connecting with community. And our main thing with connecting with community is finding those adult mentors within your area. And so we're also working on finding those agencies, those adults in different areas of the state to faster connect those teens with an adult mentor.
And Cody, do you feel like there is a growing awareness on the part of, say, teachers or administrators or leaders of faith communities that teen dating violence is a very serious issue to deal with?
I think it's slowly getting there. That's definitely why we're really pushing this first leg of the campaign, to really bring that awareness to people, to make sure that all the adults know that this is happening, whether you are choosing to believe it or not, and letting folks know where those resources are.
Let's go back to the phones, and Aiden in Rice Lake is up next. Hi, Aiden.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I've been listening to the conversation, and I really appreciate and think it's important that we take this time to talk about how we can prevent dating violence in our own lives and in the lives of youth and others. As well as supports and resources and tools for folks who are experiencing it. At the same time, I wonder what would happen if we shifted this framework a little bit to shift our attention to people who commit acts of dating violence and sort of the root causes of that, and what creates the conditions that someone feels so powerful to, you know, or takes the power, you know, over somebody else. And what would happen if we started looking at that a little bit more, and how we can prevent folks from committing these acts and becoming violent or abusive?
That's a great question, Aiden. Thank you for that. And so, Stephanie, is there a two-pronged approach where you are hoping to reach people who are victims in these relationships, but what about trying to interrupt and correct the behavior of the abusers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to take both approaches, certainly. And one way that I try to explain this to young people is I really talk about the dynamic of oppression and the way that we come into the world as babies, right? Like, as babies, we come into this world kind and loving and zestful and proud. And we're equipped at birth with natural processes to resolve conflict that comes up in the world, whether it's talking it out, crying it out, taking time to go get some exercise and just de-stressing. We actually have natural ways to resolving conflict in nonviolent ways, but it's the society and the world and the adults that are in our lives that are really sending us conflicting messages. So one thing that I like to teach my young people is start being critical of the music that you're listening to. That puts over-sexualizing and objectifying women, like, those messages are going to permeate into your behavior eventually. So it's really about trying to change the new normal and really talk about healthy relationships in a way in which, you know, it can be modeled and seen in your community. And so it's really important to engage adults and make sure that they're modeling healthy behaviors, so that those that are coming after them are really having a model of what to look up to and how to even resolve conflict in a nonviolent way.
Thanks for that call, Aiden. Let's go back to the phones, and Emilio is in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Emilio.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I called, I was listening with my mother, and I was hoping to talk about, or just briefly say my experience with Dare to Know. I went to the Teen Summit a while back, and it really taught me about teen relationships. Like, it helped, it opened up my eyes, so I could see that most people around my school didn't know anything about this, and it was important to get the topic out so people weren't committing horrible actions against their significant others. And after going to Dare to Know and the Teen Summit, a couple of friends that went with me, we were so inspired that we started a relationship education group here in Sturgeon Bay called FIRE, and it stands for Forging Youth Relationship Education.
That's great, Emilio. And what's the response been from your peers?
It's been very inviting. They like to see that they're not alone, where that there's other people that have experienced teen relationship issues, and that we have this group now, and it's letting them come together and talk about how people have committed violence actions on them, and their significant others have emotionally or physically abused them, and that we're there teaching them about healthy relationships.
Well, Emilio, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your work on this. And Cody, you're sitting here smiling. Clearly, this is exactly what you're hoping will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Emilio's part of our statewide teen council. So thank you for calling in.
And before we run out of time, I want to make sure that adults and teens know where they can get more information about the Dare to Know project, but also just about healthy relationships. What are some resources, Cody, that you would point them to?
Our website, we have a Get Help section that has the domestic violence programs throughout all 72 counties in Wisconsin. For dating violence, there's loveisrespect.org, and has just an amazing array of teen-focused, teen-created materials around dating violence.
And those are actually safe to visit, and you can visit without there being a trace in your browser, I believe.
There's a safe exit.
Safe exit. Yeah. Great. Well, Stephanie and Cody, thank you so much for joining us today. Really important information.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
That was Stephanie Ortiz and Cody Warner, both from End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. We were talking about the problem of teen dating violence and what's being done here in the state to prevent it.